Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding region. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. They are a fiercely proud people. They aren't looking for any handouts. They would just like to see a level playing field. They are fiercely loyal to family, to community, to their traditions. They are fiercely independent. We'll mind our business and you mind yours. They are fiercely mistrustful of outsiders, mistrustful of the government, especially the really big, oppressive Roman government. What they do know and what they do trust is their own experience. The government and the outsiders, in their experience, only seem to show up when they want to take something. To the Romans, they're a tax base, a source of cheap labor, and their young men get taken to fight Roman wars. There's a big city nearby. It's called Sepphoris. And Sepphoris is just maybe 2 or 3 miles away. It's of the Roman style. It's Hellenistic in culture. It's full of foreigners with their big money, building their big houses, and they have really strange, suspicious ways. The village of Nazareth, though, it's small. I mean, tiny. It's 6 or 7 acres total. The whole village is the length of 3 football fields, and their population fluctuates at sometimes maybe 200 people. On a really great year, maybe they could claim 400 people. These are small town, Jewish, country folk. A handful of extended family groups, clans, living together, trying to hang on to their ways. Outsiders make fun of them. Yeah. Outsiders make fun of them, or they ignore them, or they exploit them. They have a funny way of talking, at least everybody else's way of thinking, a distinctive accent that sets them apart. People call them crude, backward, hicks. They're known for being rebellious. Militias are formed in these hills because these people are fed up. Other Jews are fond of saying, "Oh, nothing good can come from Nazareth, or at least I'm not from Nazareth." These Galilean hill people are Jesus' people. The people who know Jesus' parents and his parents' parents and his cousins' cousins, they're the people who helped bring him up. They're the people who taught him to work hard. They're the people who taught him to be honest. They're the people who taught him to care about the neighbor and the weak. It was in this synagogue that he learned to read and write and cut his teeth on the Jewish scriptures, the Torah, the law, the writings, the prophets. Jesus would scamper down the street with the other boys every day to go get his lessons at the synagogue, and he went there with his father and the other men every Sabbath, every week, every year of his life, worshiping in the old traditions. These are a praying people, a worshiping people, a people who rely on God, and Jesus has been shaped by their faith. And now he stands and he reads a passage from the scroll of Isaiah, speaking the word of God into the ears of these people who were looking for help. He's speaking the word of God into the ears of the people who are yearning for some good news, a people who've been looking to God to free them from their oppressors, a people looking for that day when God's justice and reconciliation would come and change their lives forever. This place, Nazareth, where nobody is looking for anything good to happen, is the little village where God looks when God needs a Messiah. God looks at Nazareth, at Mary, a young girl nobody's ever heard of before, Joseph, a man who's just another low-wage worker, and these are the people who are the maids and the roofers and the people who pick other people's crops. And God looks at these people and chooses these people and this son, Jesus, and says, this one will be the Messiah. The one who will someday be known and called the Son of God. Now, before Jesus, nobody's paying any attention to Nazareth other than to somehow disparage it. Before Jesus, Nazareth is a nothing. After Jesus, Nazareth is no longer a nowhere backwater town. Now, Nazareth is the place where Jesus came from. Nazareth is the beginning of God's good news for the world. And people will flock to this town, Nazareth, from all over the globe. To this day, people are still journeying to Nazareth, flying there, walking there, and they will stand in front of the well in Nazareth where you can still draw water. The same well where Jesus' mother, Mary, went out and drew water several times a day for her household. Mary, who sang once, God has raised up the lowly. God has filled the empty with good things. Jesus stands up in a synagogue and he's handed the scroll of Isaiah. Now, why Isaiah? We don't exactly know. But it does seem to be the text that Jesus uses for his mission in life. It is his manifesto. It is the thing that names his values, his goals, his purpose. He says, these words, this is who I am. This is what I am about. And then Jesus rolls up that scroll, having identified with those words of the prophet Isaiah, the words about the suffering servant, the one who will come in peace, the one who will not break even a bruised reed, even a bent blade of grass, who will walk so gently on the earth that no harm will come to anyone. This one is the one who will bring in God's reign, who will give sight to the blind, who will heal the sick, who will call up the oppressed and set them free, who will unbind the prisoners, who will make the lame walk and leap like deer. This is the one who will give the deaf hearing and the mute speech. This is the one who is going to walk in the way to Jerusalem to prove that holding on to life is not the important thing. It's the way we live life and the way we give it away for our neighbor that makes us strong and powerful and brings in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus says to them, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He feels his power. Because God has anointed me, he says. It's more like Messiah'd me. To be anointed is to be appointed and declared and empowered to be the Messiah. And God has anointed me to be the Messiah. Think of that, me, he says, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Wow. And then he sits down and says, today, in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled. If we want to see God's work in the world, if we want to see God's miracles in life, we have only to look at the places where nobody else is looking. Places like Nazareth, at the people that nobody respects. And there we will see him, God's Messiah, coming with power for us, just as God did in Nazareth. Amen.